Pezayin and Aleph from Rashi, halfway down the page, Deloy Nodar, Deloy Shua. In Kosov law, Russian Zeb. So if he wrote to her, that was the language he used. So what does he mean? So the Mor goes to various different cheetahs. So Rabbi Merubhia said, so he can't be mashpia her. But if he says lost of Naki Neder, so he means Menakisa Mishuasa, Midin Shua. Either he could mean that all I'm committing to not to have any claim of Shua on you. And Rabbi Yosef said it means Naki Napshacha Bishuasa. It means the opposite. Im Yashaducha Hishboy Lahem. If they're Chayshid, then you're going to have to swear. Okay. Then the Mor said, "Avmo asked the Olam Yerushin Mashpiyin Oisah." That I would interpret. Abishol says that really all these things, the Lachah he can't be Mashpiyah because they all said Habali Pora. The Olam Yerushin Mashpiyin Oisah Imesu Behinifras Mehem because our Masakin that there's a Din Shua and that the Tanis Chazal of a Din Shua. It's not, he has no power to forgo by this statement of promising or no shua, doesn't affect the Yershim. Vika the Amri lo lohod abashol ben ima Miriam is masnisa. They present it not as a statement of a member of Shmuel is saying in the name of abashol ben ima Miriam, but rather it was a braisa. It's not wasn't said as a quote from an Amura. It's a brisa. And on that Shmuel, so he paskin like Abishol, that even after he's making this commitment to her, that he won't mashpia her or his children won't be mashpia her. The kanas chazal still takes effect, and the yerushim are going to mashpia her. Okay. We're holding by the Mishnah. How broadly permit the Yisumim any friend of the Beshua? So that's still going to be there. Is that the Mishnah? Hapogemis Ksubas, as we mentioned at the top of the page, the Dev Pogemis. So the woman who's pegemus ksuva, I mean, she pays up part of the ksuva. So the sifra el b'shua, so she cannot collect the rest of the ksuva unless she makes a shua. The Mishnah is going to go through and give a case of it. Now the Mishnah continues and says, "Eidechel me'ida shehi perua." If another scenario is that against the shtar, there's an eidechel which says that the shtar is paid. So also the sifra el b'shua to collect, you need a shua. Then the Mishnah continues and says that minichasim the back changes of the gersa minichasim mishubadim or minichsa yisamim anifrash lo b'fonov. So the order is mishubadim when he's alive, but they're collecting after him. They're collecting from the kuchais. Or we're collecting from after you died from the Yisumim, or we're collecting from his property, but he's not here. He's out of the country. And the Bezdin said that they have a right to collect. So they comes to Bezdin. We don't know what he would have argued in Bezdin. So Bezdin's a mechayev the person of Shua. So the mission goes through the cases. Hapogemis ksubasa ketzib. What's the example of a pogemis ksubasa? Hoyse ksubasa elav zuz. Written in the ksuba there was 1,000 zuz. Dikir ksuba, the tevis ksuba, there was some nixis and barzel. And the ksuba was 1,000 zuz. Okay. Varmala, he's kabalt ksuba seich. He says to her, I already paid you. He Ameris, he's about the Elamana. She says, you're right, you paid me something, but it was only a mana. So now she herself has undermined the power of the ksuba by admitting that some of the ksuba was paid. So lasifra ela b'shua, she can only collect the rest of the ksuba if she swears that she still owed the 900. Erechel me'ida she peru a ketzad. What's the case of erechel me'ida? Hois ksuba selav zu zomerla he's kabalt ksuba saich. He says to the woman, you've already got your ksuba. The husband says to the woman, v'yemeres lo he's kabalti. She says, no, I did not get paid at all. Erechel me'ida she peru a. But the man has an erechel supporting his claim that it was paid. The sifra ela b'shua, so she has to collect. She needs a shua. This is why the Bach changed the order, because you see over here that in the order of the Mishnah, the next case is the case of Menachasim Shabbatim. Ketzad. So Macher, now the Bach has the word kol Menachasim L'Acherim. So all of his property is now sold to others, and he has nothing to collect from himself. So she's collecting from the purchasers. L'Sifra Ela B'Shua. What's the case of Yisamim? May so inif the chos of the Yisamim, but he nifras min Yisamim. L'sif ela b'shua. Okay, b'shul b'fonav kate. So what's the case of shul b'fonav? Holach l'adam dinas hayam. He's out of the country. He nifras shul b'fonav. She's collecting l'ksuba, but he's not here. And nifras ela b'shua. So she has him. She needs a shua to be able to collect. So that's the five cases of the Mishnah. Shimon Armor. Okay. That Kosmanshi Tavask Subasa, a Yorshin Mashbian Osa, the man of Tavask Subasa, and a Yorshin Mashbian Osa. That the Gemara is going to grapple with what's the case of going on. So the Gemara says one shot is going on that he's shalom b'fonov, and she's not asking to collect the ksuba. She has the right to get mezarnus, the husband wants to be the yam, and she's coming from the property of the husband to get her mezarnus. So we say, you know, maybe the husband put away tzrori to pay your ksuba, and then he has no chiyum mezonos anymore. So it's theoretically possible to have an issue of collecting from the husband's property while he's away, not in the context of chiyum ksuba, but relevant to the ksuba. Does she require a shua in that situation or not? That Shem Shimon says, no, if she's coming to collect the ksuba, she has to swear. She's coming to collect mezonos, she doesn't have to swear. That's one shot in the Gemara. Okay, but that's it. So Rav Shimon's going on that case. Zakrashi. Begemus ksubasa can refer to also b'mesis and gufo. All the cases are explained in the Mishnah itself. L'sifra hashar, she cannot collect the rest. And we refer to time. Erech me'ido. The more of a farish time, the more explains why. Menachasim Shabbatim. Mishum, why when they're collecting from the kuchos, does she need a shua? Mishum, they have a gabi min aloiva gufe. If she be collecting from the aloiva himself, or the husband himself, v'habatoyin loiva ishtabali deloy praticha. If the loiva would request a shavua, yes, you have the shtar. I claim that I paid. I want you to swear that I didn't pay. So that Bezin recognizes that request, and we make the malva swear. But v'iloy toyin, if he doesn't ask for it, so if the loiva does not ask for it, Bezin will not intervene and ask for it. The malva has a shtar. We assume the shtar is valid, and that's it. Okay. Now, But in the case where they come to collect from the Kuchos and not Taninon, we will argue the following. Dilma, Ihava, Gavisa, Mina Loiva, Habitan Lucha, Ishtabili, Dula Praticho, Uba Isil Ishtabuye. If you had come, if you've been collecting from the Loiva himself, he would have asked Rashua. Now he's here. Not asking Rashua because, like he says, like no sweat off my back. I sold all the property. I'm losing nothing at all. Like, it doesn't affect me. So his attitude is like tough luck. The Bezin says, yeah, but had the Loiva not been in that state of mind, had the Loiva been relevant to collecting from the Loiva, he would have asked the Rashua. Possibly. Sniffer, the Lekuchas have a right. Bezin says, we're gonna request from the one who's coming to collect that he should swear. So Hasha Anantaninan, we will ask for it. The Psach Pichol Ilemu. So that's the pasuk we had before. That the concept of Taninon on Bezin's part is because the pasuk says that Psach Pichol Ilemu, you have to open your mouth for the one who is mute. They don't know anything. They have no way to know what they ask for. So Bezin will intervene and ask for them.
I don't know, why don't they have a more direct right? I mean, just like the...
They do. The problem is if they can't say, he paid you. The lawyer walks in and says, listen, I said that I paid. I want you to swear that I didn't pay.
Yeah.
Right? They can't say that. They have no idea.
Okay, but they're saying, look, before you take the field away from me, swear that...
Well, without the concept of Sapir Le'ilim, the Kiddush of Taninan is, you don't swear in a Tanya Shem. The Kiddush of Taninan is that we act as if the Lord would be here and be asking... That we're saying, the Bezin is to say, had the lawyer been here, he could have asked for this, so we're going to ask for it as if the lawyer would be here. He would ask it as a time is boring. Okay, Umanitza Yosemite with Mifrash Lebefonov, Kulu Mishum Haitaimo. So all of these, this is the logic of we're being Psach Pichalil and we're using the concept of Taninan. Have the Lekuchas say, listen, we know that the so-and-so had paid. He told us that he paid. So that they would have a right to ask Rishua themselves without the concept of Tanina. Rishim and Omer, Gemara Mepharash HaHaikoi. Now, there are cases where your person can make a person swear the Tanah Shema, but those are all special Tekanah. The Balabai's coat says he's Maimon Apotropos. Right? He says, I think maybe you've done something improper. I don't know, but he has a right to ask for that shul. That's a special Tekanah Sechomim to make a person swear the Tanah Shema. But in general, you can't make a person be Mashpi of the Tanah Shema. Rav Cholin says, the Kiddush HaTaninan has the din of a Suffolk Bori. We're saying maybe had the person been here, he would have asked when the time is bori, so we're going to be debated. So it's a din of a suffolk bori, he calls it.
We were talking before about like the husband, he must be the wife who's overseeing his businesses.
Right, so that's the din, that's the kind of special tikkun of Shavuos Apotropos, which is being mishpi with the Tanah Shem. That's a special Tekanah Sechomim. Because the nature of by definition, the nature of that relationship is always going to be a Shem. Rishimin Armar, Gemara Farsha Haikot. The Gemara says, which case Rishimin is going on? So the Gemara. So Rabbi Brachama thought about the first case of the Pagamus Ksubosa that so Rabbi the Meimar Shua the Raisa. This is the first case of the Mishnah of Pagamus Ksubosa is Shua the Raisa. Why? The Kotoyim Messiah. It's a classic case of one of the mixes. Right? One is asking for 200, the other one's being murdered to 100. So Havalei Hadar b'mixes Hatayna, B'chol Amoyde b'mixes Hatayna Yeshava. So this is a classic Mada b'mixes. Amar Rava, Shtei Tuvos Medavar. There's two responses to that. There's two problems with that. Chara, Chol Nishboyim Shabbatar Nishboyim Velo Meshalman Vehi Nishbas Benatelis. The Mishnah says in Shuas that Chol Nishboyim, the name of the parak is Chol Nishboyim, that all of the cases of a shua, the raisa, are a case of using a shua to patter yourself, not to collect. So all three cases of shua the raisa is one of the mixes, Eid Echad, and shua sharmim, all of them, somebody's being tebeya, the individual, and the individual's responding, I owe half. He's saying, oh, nothing, and the Eid Echad says he owes something. And the Balabai says to the sharmer, where's my behemoth? All shuas the raisa are a case of a nishba v'nifter, not a nishba v'noitel. All shuas nishba v'notad rabbonans. Furthermore, v'oid, second of all, any shboin al-kfir shibik karkos. You don't swear in karka. And over here, since the chum set up that the chi of ksuba b'ikir is a din in karka, it's a shibik karkos, you wouldn't swear in it, the raisa. So, Al Amr Rabba Mirabana. The shoe is not a shoe of the Raisa. The shoe is a shoe of the Rabbana. Okay. Okay. So, why were Chazal Misak in the shoe? So Rashi over here grapples with, I mean, the husband over here is saying he paid. So why doesn't that automatically generate a request for a shua? And so we already have the mission shuas that even if the woman does not admit at all to any payments, the husband says, listen, I'm saying I paid. I want you to swear. She would have to swear. So what's the chiddush over here? The same thing with Eirecho. The Eirecho is being made that he paid. So obviously the husband's claiming that he paid. Okay. Meanwhile, so Rashi is going to grapple with that. So why does Chazal put a shua? The Mor says the para dayik, the mifra loy dayik. Rabbanan Rabbanan Shua Allah kihecha the teiduk. The one who paid keeps much more track of the fact that he paid something than the one who got paid keeps track of how much they got paid. So he's claiming, she's admitting that there was a payment. He's claiming the payment was larger than she said. So, in general, we're going to, even though she has a shtar, in general, the keeping track of how much is paid, the one who's paying and laying out the money is going to be much more in the right than the one who received the money. So the Chacham said, listen, you want to collect, that's fine. I want you to understand, when you get this payment, keep track of how much it is going to be, because you're going to have to swear about this. Okay.
I just want to make sure that my understanding is correct. I mean, she's got the shtar, right?
Right.
Okay. I mean, I think that counts for a lot.
Yeah. She's collecting. Right? We're not taking away her right to collect. Fine. Ibor lehum. Pagamus ksubasa be'edim. Mahu. So there are edim that she proves that she received that amount of the payments. So, if he's claiming that event X took place, and he paid 100, and she's saying no, he says it was 1,000, and she says only 100, they didn't say it's 100, so obviously there's no need for a shua. But if he says, well, the same way I paid you on Monday that 100, I paid you on Tuesday the rest, could also say that, because you see we're already in the payment. But she had aided him on event number one. So she should argue, obviously you didn't pay on Tuesday where you're aided. You were careful enough to get aided when you paid the first part of the amount. So logic would be that you're a type of person who wants aided him, you want aided him on the second part of the amount. There's no aided him. So maybe she should not have to swear because his lack of aided him undermines his claim. So Mahu, Imi said the para be'edim have para lo. Do we argue that had he paid the rest, he would have done it with edim, and therefore the claim, even though if he would claim that I paid and asked for a shuwa, he would get it. But over here, by the fact that he actually has paid, but the afki with edim, in the case he's a type of person who wants edim, then the lack of edim will work against him. No, he's not a person who's a mak bedafka an edim. It happened to be edim were available for that payment, and the other payment there were no edim around. He wanted to get it done with, and he did it. And the lack of edim is not going to be something which is indicative of a lack of payment. Okay, Toshma. That mission shuas that we mentioned, calling nishboim shabatara nishboim below misham. All cases of a shua on the Torah level are always a case of a person who's nishba and then doesn't have to pay. He's a nishba of a nifter. Vela nishboim in Ireland. Here are the cases where Chazal Masakin that a person can swear and through the shua they can collect. Okay, case number one is a soccer. A person hired a worker, and the more it works out, the case over there that it was the time where the balabayas, the employer, would have wanted to pay because. Saying it wasn't the time yet that he about had to be paid, not to be over this or not paying on time, and the balabayas says I paid already, and the sucker says I didn't get paid yet, and the Morris says that it's possible that if he had multiple workers, he thought he paid this fellow also and really didn't pay him. So we're saying if the sucker is willing to swear, he can collect. Okay, van Nixel, if we have circumstantial evidence that there was a gzela, A, and the supposed nigzel is willing to swear that this item was stolen from him, so the combination of the two, he will allow it to be swearing and collect. V'hanechbol, a case where we have circumstantial evidence that the somebody was damaged, he was a chavol, he was damaged. There's circumstantial evidence indicating that this individual was the chayvel, that this person was the mazik. So if the nechbel is willing to swear that's who it was, the nechbel gets to collect. If in a case where there's a shua deraisa on the nitva, but the nitva is a person which halachically is not allowed to swear, he's chashad al shua. So we say that if the Tevea is willing to swear, the Tevea can collect. The Gemara goes through the that Ruvain told the Chenvani. Ruvain told the Chenvani to supply goods to his workers, and that would be subtracted from their, that would be counted as payment to the workers. The workers are claiming that they never got paid, and they're coming to the balabais and saying, we want to collect. The Chavani is coming with his ledger saying, I did pay them. I want to. You owe me the money. So the Chavani is coming with his pinkas, with his ledger, to collect from the balabais. Okay, that's all introduction to the case you want to get to. But pogam shtar shel beedim. And the Mishnah says, in the case of Pegemus, Shtara. The person admits that the part of the Shtara was paid, but he has no Edim, so he has to swear if he wants to collect the rest. See, if the Shtar says 1,000, and he admits that he received 500, and he has Edim, which witnessed that the payment was only 500, and the lawyer would say, no, I paid you 1,000, well, so then you don't have to swear. The Edim support the Malva. But if there's no Edim, and the Malva is admitting that the lawyer paid him half of the part of the Chayv, the rest that he collects, he has to collect with a Shua. So it's a Nishma
Benoitel. In the example of with the Edim, the Edim are claiming that the full amount, they were there for the full amount? Or what's that case going to
be? Reuben's the Malva, Shimon's the lawyer. So Reuben the Malva comes to the start, Shimon, you owe me $1,000. Shimon says, I paid the whole thing. Reuben says, no, it was only 500. You owe me the other 500. So he's admitting that there was a payment, but he's saying it was only partial. He wants the rest of the money. So had there been Aiden at that event, they would tell us how much it was. So there'd be no shua over there. So either they say 1,000, so you don't collect. They say 500, they would collect. Right? But since there's no Aiden, say if the Reuben says no, you didn't pay, the Bible says you didn't pay me anything at all, so collect with the star and that's it. But he's admitting that the star was partially paid, so he has to collect the rest with a shur. Okay. Now, what will be if the lawyer says, well, the same way I paid you half of it on Monday, I paid you the other half on Tuesday. So the Edim in that situation would be irrelevant. They don't know. They say, yeah, it was only 500. Yeah, but he's saying, yeah, but I paid the other half on Tuesday. Edim can't say yes or yay or nay. On the other hand, we could argue, Gemara's arguing over here, that he can't say that. Why can't he say that? The lawyer can't say that. Because the lawyer, Shimon, says that I paid you on Tuesday the other half. Why didn't you get Edim? The same way you were mocked to get Edim to prove that you paid. On Monday, you didn't want the fellows coming and collecting the whole star. So that we see that you're a person who is concerned about proving his point, and your claim that you paid on Tuesday without Edim, it's not logical. So we're going to let, if that's what your claim is, you're admitting that Monday was only 500, like the Edim said. You're claiming this phantom payment on Tuesday, which you have nothing to support. In that situation, the Malva will not have to swear. So Mor says, it says the only case he can collect is with a shua, shalom Edim. In be Edim loy, had there been Edim. The nitva can't ask for a shua. So that's our shaila. So you prove that the Mishnah stresses that the scenario is only possible if there are no Edim. So if there are no Edim, so if the person who pays without Edis, so whether he's claiming that was the full amount, or he's claiming it as the second payment the next day, either way, the Teveya would have to swear to collect. The Malva would have to swear to collect. But now that he paid with Edim, the Mishnah's Mashma, the whole thing doesn't apply anymore, which we're understanding means that the Malva with his star would collect the remainder without even a Shua. Mor says, no, opposite. Let me boy comer. It's saying a Kiddush. Lo mi boy be'edim the body tzrich ha-shvua alba b'shalo be'edim emir tehevi k'meshe b'veda b'tishko b'lo shvua k'mash malon. Let the Malva argue, I have a star. There's no Edis out there against my star. I could ask for the whole star. I asked for half. I'm admitting that there's a payment of half. Isn't it obvious that I'm saying the truth? Why do I have to swear another half? That's called the Meshav Aved. I mean, I could have chosen to ask for the whole thing. Right? So the law is the Meshav Aved doesn't swear. Rashi learns that Meshav Aved is referring to the Tekanos Chachamim in Mishnah Gittin, which says, "Amotzim Mitzia Lo Yishav B'Mitaytikin Arlo." Reuben finds a wallet, delivers it to Shimon. Shimon says, "There was $1,000 in wallet. It's only 500. Where's my brother half? Oh, I didn't. I gave you the whole thing. Oh, but you might have the 500. Oh, you might have mixed it. Swear on the rest." The guy says, "I'm never going to turn an Aveda again in my life." Right? If that's what's going to happen, nobody returns any Avedas. So Chama said, "You can't. Even though it's a murder of a mix, it's the Raisa, you're not going to swear." So in this case, it's the end of Chomesh of Aveda Gadol Mizeh. Right? The Malba could have asked for the whole 1,000. He gave the loiver the 500 for free on a platter. Said, and swear. Whoa. You know what I'm going to do next time? I'm not going right? to. That's what Rashi learns. Tosafot learns that the Mesha Veda, it means. It's a similar level. The person had an option of totally denying everything easily. And now when he's not, so look, it's a very powerful migu. Right? Like, I'm not lying. If I'm lying, it's obvious what I would have said. So why are you asking me for sure? So the Morris says, we should have argued. So if there are Adim that he paid half, so the Malva has no choice. So yes, we say, Mr. Malva, listen, you have a star, but if you say that he paid half, it's possible he paid the other half. You want to collect, you have to swear. But if there's no Adim, really? You think you'd have to swear? I would have argued there's no Dinshu over there. Kamash Malon, that even in that scenario, that he has to swear. And the argument is because, like you said before, the Mifra Loidayik. When we have the Leiva arguing that the payment was a larger amount, and the Malba saying the payment was a smaller amount, we say that once they both agree on the event, the argument is how much. So we find the general that the Leiva is much more, he has much more money riding on this than the Malva. He's laying out the money right now. So in general, the Parah is Dayak, and therefore he has to swear. That's the Kiddush of the Mishnah, Kamash Malon. Even in that scenario, the Malva has an argument with the Mesha Veda. So yeah, but you said you're very nice, Mesha Veda. But we believe that you were being precise. And the Leiva is being much more precise, therefore you have to swear. Okay. Zakrashi. So Rabbi Rechama wanted to say this is Shur Daraisa. In the Nafti Minot Dilem Afkinon Leit. There's a din called Hippuch Shur. I don't remember that you can't do by Shur Daraisa, but okay. I guess I'm remembering wrong. Okay. A person is chayav shvuah, and he says, you know what? I'm willing to offer that the other person should swear and get out of it. So the nitva is chayav shvuah. The nitva offers that, I'm willing to offer the tzevei. If he's willing to swear, he can collect. It's called hipuch shvuah. So we go to the. So it's a move in Besdin. You're supposed to swear and be potter. So you don't want to swear. So you call the malva, the tzevei's bluff, and say, listen, if you're willing to swear, you can collect. So this way you can get out of the shua, theoretically. So Rashi is saying it doesn't work by shua d'raisa. The shua d'raisa, he's chayv the shua, and he can't say, well, I'm willing to offer it to the other person and let him collect. He says, no, you're chayv to swear. By shua d'rabbanan, he has a right to be mapped the shua to the other individual. So Rabbi said back, no, all shuas d'raisa are cases of shua when he's born with a mishalman. Misha Torbenoi say, The individual who is the nitva nishba swears the teveya accepts, takes it. It's referring to the shua, takes the shua, and the and he doesn't have, and then the nitva doesn't have to pay. Mishal of the Shalom who nishpa. So we darshan out that the shuah is the one who has to would have to pay, and through the shuah he doesn't have to pay. Kol shtar is shibet kakos, saying vein nishpa no shet kakos, can mean the shuah is vazov. So the more it makes a drasha, you don't swear in karka. Rashi is saying that every case of a shtar, once you have a shtar, we look at it that the discussion, primarily the purpose of a shtar, is the power to collect from karkos. That's why you're getting a shtar. It gives you the power to collect from the kukos, even though the property was sold, etc. So Tarsus says, if there's no shtar, even Yol Chibur the Raisa, so you're collecting. Reuven walks into, comes to the Bez and the Shimon. Tosis grabs the question. It says, every chayv, it's a chayv moment, it's also a chayv karka. So we're saying, well, if there's a shtar, any shbar no shibik kokos. And let's say there's no shtar, he's being tamei of the nitzvah. He can't go to the kukos, he's being tamei of the nitzvah. Your money or your karka. Or whatever he has. So he's devolving karka. So Tosis is saying, but yeah, but it's not only karka, it's also money. So he's not, you're not swinging on the karka, you're swinging on the money part. Okay, and now that he has a shtar, what changed? So Tosis says, when you make a shtar, the purpose of the shtar is to guarantee that even if the property is sold, you can still collect from the property. So the primary purpose of the shtar is, now that halacha that if the property is sold, you collect from the kukos, only applies to the karka, it doesn't apply to metaltalim. So the primary function of the of a shtar is to guarantee the payment of the loan in the karka. So the person who's being kafir against the shtar primarily is being kafir against the shibud karka, which the shtar it was supposed to generate. So that's not called. But whereas if you go to individual, he's being tamei the chayv moment, and he's denying the chayv moments. Of course, he swears. Elam Rava Mirabanan. So Rava says the shua is not a shua deraisa. It's a shua derabanan. Mirabanan he shua zu. My time at the paradigm, because we say the one who pays usually has much more, keeps much more track and much more clear than the one who gets paid. Well, the pogim nami, even if there was a case of pogim, okay, malon b'shuas, as we more in shuas, the omrle yishtavali d'loy praticha. If the nitzvah says to the tevaya, listen, I understand you're a shtar, fine, I want you to swear that I didn't pay you. Mishmina lei, we force the tevaya to swear. The husband is saying to the woman, I paid you. So why is there a special halacha being defined because of the case of pegamus? Even if she wasn't pegamus, right? She's not admitting of any payment at all. The husband is claiming that he paid the whole thing. He says, I want you to swear. She'd have to swear. Either so the case of Erechet also. So even though there's not the Erechet says that he paid, and let's say there's no Erechet that he paid, the husband's just saying that he paid it on his own. But she has to swear. So Rashi, her pechid in law b'shuas. The more asked the question over there. Ma bein zel pagim shtora on that halacha that we can be that the tevaya. The nitva can make the tzeveya swear. The more I ask, so that's what's the so what's the in that case in the case of pergim shtara. Mashanino, the more I answer like this, hafi hasim ki pagim varmalei hai praticha mashpinalei mafilo loy tzol loy zeh he shavali. Even though he doesn't ask for he shavali, once the it's a case of pagim, automatically the teveya who has the shtar, who's admitted that part of the shtar was paid, will not, Bezel will not allow the teveya to collect the rest without a shua, even if the nitva does not ask for a shua. Avol ki loy pagim, in the case where there's no pagima, Afilo Amrle Praticha, even though the Nitzvah says I paid, Ilo Amrle Behedya Ishtavali, if he does not ask explicitly, swear to me, Amrina Le Zil Shlim, don't knock a shtar. The Reuven walks in the Bezin with a shtar. Shimon says, I paid. Reuven's Bezin validates the shtar, sees that it's not forged, it's not whatever it is. Reuven collects. Shimon says, yeah, but I paid. This is very nice. If Shimon says, you know what, I'm telling you, I want him to swear. Okay, so he has to swear. But if you don't ask him to swear, he doesn't have to swear. But Begesa Pegamus, because of the Sora of Paradaik and Mifraloidaik, Bezin itself says, there's something funny over here. We know the person admitted that he paid. He's claiming it's the more, he's claiming it's less. Probabilities are that there was a mistake over here. Bezin is asking for the shul already. But the person says he paid, and this is shtar. Maybe the nitzvah is totally a liar. Why should Bezin intervene and make the Tevei swear unless the nitzvah asked for it? Okay. Let's hold it here.